rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel
in there. Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones,
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Well, hello, hello, hello. How's it looking? How's the meter looking? Is it looking okay over there? Okay, I'll take it down a little bit. This is the Dutch Jones Show. It is Monday, the 24th of May, 2010. It's about 5:01 p.m. Pacific time. We do this show Monday through Friday right here at DutchJones.tk and on U Broadcast. At 6 o'clock, we jump over and simulcast on Liberty Tree Radio, and we, you know, probably double or triple our listenership then. And what we're doing here is we try to bring you the Christian militant worldview. And Mondays we like to dedicate a little bit to the good book, and we're going to be doing that today. But we're going to talk a little bit also about some things going on in the news first. But today we're going to talk about the question of whether to obey God or man, the whole render unto Caesar question. Thanks, Rocky Hill, for giving me the audio report. Let's see. Okay, yeah. Rocky Hill Ranger is in the room, and he's reporting he had someone tell him that there was some type of paramilitary training going on in San Francisco this weekend. There's a lot of stuff going on this weekend. We want to share with you a few things. I can't hear myself. Let me turn this up here for me. It won't adjust them, but oh, good. There we go. As long as I can hear myself in my ear, I feel better. I told you guys on Friday that we had the Hell's Angels in town for the weekend, and all these different alphabet agencies were here harassing everybody. One of our guys drove down to the grocery store to get some cat food and some aspirin. He had a loud cat and a headache. So when he got out of his car, he was approached by two, the way he described it, jackbooted thugs. It just said police, didn't identify what agency, but they had tactical gear on and the whole thing. Yeah, we could have got our own police vest and walked around harassing people. And they said, what's your name? Where are you going to? Where are you coming from? Who do you associate with? And his reply was simply, what are you, the Gestapo? And they said, well, we need to see your ID. He goes, I don't need papers to go to the grocery store. So he handled it appropriately and just walked away from them. They didn't do anything. So we get a lot of stories coming in like that where they were mostly just hassling the locals. They did arrest a couple Hell's Angels. I don't know what the charges were, but they had them all splayed out on the ground and going through their stuff like they normally do. Big show of force. Stacy and I went out to dinner a couple times, and they were everywhere. The Hell's Angels were polite, nice. I'm not a big fan of them. I'm not promoting them, but I didn't see a need for this kind of presence. These guys were just definitely playing cop. Good news was our local sheriff's deputy wanted no part of it. They kept asking him, hey, you want to get in on this? And he's like, he told everybody, no, I'm just going to do his regular patrols and, you know, be his regular small-town cop attitude. So that was nice. So it's just silly that they had that kind of presence. The other thing I wanted to talk about is there was an ad that ran over the weekend in a Mexican newspaper, or excuse me, in an Arizona newspaper placed there by a Mexican tourism board. That had an image of a man in military clothing with binoculars looking out over the horizon that says, we're watching for Arizonians. We're looking for Arizonians. To me, that sounds like a threat. Well, Sheriff Joe Arpaio thought so too, so he's calling for a complete boycott of all things Mexico. Mexico says that there was a problem with the ad, that it should have said, we're looking for Arizonians who want to come to our country and have fun. That's a bunch of bull. It was a threat. It was a threat about kidnapping and violence and raping and pillaging. Anybody who goes to Mexico, though, in my opinion, and if you're a person that vacations down there, you're wrong. You're stupid and you're wrong. You shouldn't be spending your money down there in a country that's trying to kill us, that's trying to occupy and destroy us. I have no sympathy for tourists that go anywhere to savage countries and disappear. Right now, I guess in Yemen, some tourists disappeared, and last month some nurses were killed over there. If you're a Westerner going to a country that is at war with us, either spiritually, physically, or legally, you're on your own. I don't care if you're a missionary, you're on your own. You know, people go, what do you mean missionary? If you go into a war zone and you're wearing a great big label on you that says, hey, I'm not from around here, that's on you. That's completely on you. So it's kind of sad that we see this happening, that, you know, but Mexico, they've got pirates now. Remember we talked about that helicopter, that Mexican Navy helicopter that came across, I think it was Laredo, Texas? I'll have to find the article. But now there's pirates on a lake. We share a common lake with Mexico. I don't know why we share anything with them. And it just shows how we're a third world country already along the border. There are pirates on a lake in America than they're robbing people. I sent out that link to those articles on the trash. Olima's in the chat room saying that was a great article. Thank you. If you want me to send articles to you during the week, I won't swamp you. Just ones that I think pertain to the topics of this show. Send me an email at DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com. It's scrolling across the screen there. DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com. But, yeah, I've been doing this for years. I started with Ranch Rescue and then the Minuteman Project and now just the Campo Minutemen. And anything Mexico does just makes me more and more wish they would fall off into the ocean. Or we would just invade them and take them over and, you know, and then pull out again. I mean, we got all these troops over in Iraq and Afghanistan that really pose no threat to us, and yet we've got this nation to the south of us that wants to take a big chunk of the U.S., wants to kill our tourists, murders our children in the streets, destroys our next generation with drugs. I know there's responsibility on the part of the parents and the kids taking the drugs, but come on. If we just smash those savages to the south of us, we wouldn't have that problem. So I think that Arizona sheriff urges no travel to Mexico. I've been doing this since 1992. Whoa, what'd you do, Lou?
It unplugged.
Yeah, it unplugged. You yanked it out. Boy, out my eardrums. Thank you, Lou. Sorry about that. I'm sure it increased the audio out there. That was brought to you again by Lou, who fidgets. Lou's fidgeting. How does a headphone jack just fall out? You're like that SWAT guy. My gun just went off. No, you yanked it out. My shoe. Yeah, your shoe is conspiring against you. Pay attention to your connections.
The shoe got caught in the wire.
Yeah. How does your shoe get caught in a headphone wire? If you just sit like a normal human being, we wouldn't have these problems. No Twinkies for you. No Twinkies for you. I want to thank the folks from the Exeter Militia who came up after church and ran the Category 5 cable. We are now on the north side of the building in a better acoustically situated room. We're surrounded by law books, and I'm not next to the kitchen sink. I'm not, people coming and going through the front door. We're back in a better room. It's actually more secure. We can control access to it. We lugged all of our computer equipment down here. We were worried that the, 125 feet of cable from the modem might have caused problems. That's why first thing I asked how the audio was doing, but... We're direct linked. We're not using Wi-Fi or anything anymore like we were. We're just hooked directly into the modem through a router. So that's good. So my special thanks to the folks from the Exeter Militia that came up and helped us. That's another issue I wanted to talk about before we get into the gospel. I returned. I haven't been there since I think it was November of last year to the a well-regulatedmilitia.org. It's awrm.org, a well regulatedmilitia.org. I used to post stuff in there, get in a few disputes with people over what the unregistered militia, what the unregulated militia was. And you know, I never got into the 223 versus 308 stuff. It was mostly philosophical and political stuff. I went back, looked at some of the things that I was saying, you know, back in November, and I was surprised. I haven't changed my views very much. I actually amazed myself that hey, I've been pretty consistent. And some of the people, it's funny, the people that I had contact back then, I didn't realize how many other militias I was in contact with back then that have kind of gone quiet. I'm not saying they disappeared. I'm just saying they're not out there anymore. And the one guy that I argued with the most, Brian from down south, who really, really wants to organize the state militia under a strict command structure, that I argued with him about, he's the only one that's still out there doing stuff, at least in the public eye. I know Saber 6 is out there. I know Code 3 is out there. These are people that used to listen to the show that I just don't see anymore. Code 3 said, hey, how you doing? He's from up in Susanville. There were a couple other people looking for militias in the area. I sent out a how do you do to them. But there's been a distinct shift in these forums. I went to a bunch of other militia forums since the whole Hutari thing. I'm not saying people are panicked, but I'm saying they are definitely dealing with what happened in a not so subtle way. They're just not talking to each other. There aren't a whole lot of posts. There aren't a lot of people, you know, doing what I'm doing. I'm definitely out there putting my face out there and my voice out there and at least a fake name and not giving up the fight. And I'm not saying they gave up the fight. So if you're listening, I'm not trying to insult you. I just think that we need to keep doing what we're doing the way, you know, the founding fathers did it. You know, we use security measures, but don't disappear. And I have an open invitation to all you guys that here in the Central Valley that we used to communicate with, and you came to our church for a meeting, and I'd like to see more of that. And as we get closer to the conference, I'm going to invite everybody to come to the conference. We're going to target to handle about 300 people this year. We realize we can probably feed 300 people. That's why we're limiting it 300. We just had a rough staff meeting Sunday for the conference. And unfortunately, and I understand why they're doing it, and I'm not going to dwell on it too much, because we had a lot of people last year that pre-registered, and we had to turn people away, and then they didn't show up because there was no fee involved. So what they're going to do is they're going to charge a $50 fee for registering. And that may change up or down a little bit, but if it's one person or a family, it doesn't matter. They're going to charge $50 per person, and the reason for that is we're having Chuck Baldwin come out. Chuck Baldwin is coming, and his speaking fees are 3 to 4 times higher than what our other folks' speaking fees are. And I'm not saying he shouldn't charge it. In fact, I'm surprised they weren't higher. So in order to get Chuck Baldwin here, we're going to charge a registration fee of $50 per application. It doesn't matter if you bring 10 people or it's just you. In addition to that, we'll also pass the hat around because it's going to cost somewhere around $10,000 to $12,000 to put this thing on because of the quality of the speakers that we're bringing in. All of them get paid. They always do get paid something because we have to fly them out here. And one of them is coming from South Africa. So put that in context. So I was bragging about how every year it's been free. Well, this year it's $50. But on the other side of it, when we did it, people would tithe more than that anyway because we passed the bucket around during the conference. And we've come short usually. It ends up costing the small parish here to put this on. We don't come out ahead. So we're hoping we can break even this year because we're going to have to rent a tent. We're going to be just to get everybody in to feed 300 people. We don't charge for the food. So that was some update news. I want to make sure I put that out there so nobody comes disappointed. Security is going to be a big issue this year because with the theme being dealing with the Islamo-fascist threat in America, the sermons that Peter Hammonds are going to give are going to be the history of the rise of Islam, how Islam functions to take over a country. And then his last sermon is going to be on using force to deal with the Islamo-fascist threat. So we're probably going to get protesters. And then we're going to have, Chuck Baldwin, who pretty much is the guy out in the lead right now for the anti-tyranny movement in America. So there's going to be security. We're going to have to set up, aid and comfort stations and all kinds of stuff. It's going to be a big deal. And we're expecting over 300 people. We'd like to have it keep right around 300 because that's all we can feed with our kitchen. The little old ladies and the men that cook – well, they're not all little. If they hear this, they're going to kill me. The ladies of the church and the men that cook, I mean, they put a lot into this. It's lasagna on Saturday, and then it's soup and salad on Sunday. Plus, as always, I didn't mention this before, we have a vending room set up where the speakers will sell their wares. I'll be selling military surplus and survival, maybe signing autographs for you. Maybe I'll sell a couple DVDs or something. But that'll be up. Stacy, you'll probably be running that more than me because Lou is the sound guy for the church, and along with Adam, one of our elders in the church, they'll be making the copies of the programs for people because you'll be able to buy it. What?
Sound.
You can't. I got to get your mic. Tomorrow we'll have your mic set up in here. It says we're dead, Lou.
What?
You're already Dean now and don't know it. Dean? I don't know who Dean is. And I'll be doing video. You're already dead now and don't know it. I'm not sure I was dead. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you're talking about the old ladies, yeah. The lag confuses me sometimes. But it's beautiful up here. We're about 20 degrees cooler than we were last year at this time. I'm sitting here in a long sleeve shirt, wearing my bullet-resistant vest and my pistol, just to stay warm. So we don't have heat in the building. So it's been cloudy and hazy, so hopefully the summer's going to be really nice and cool, and then and October won't be hot. We've had it rained out twice out of 14 years. Not rained out, but it rains. And then it's been super hot the rest, so we should be good. I get it, Rocky Hill. Thanks for clarification. But that's just keeping you up on what happened over the weekend. Oh, gardening. Everybody's seeing those ads on TV for upside-down tomato plants, and they're selling stuff for like 10, 15 bucks. Well, there's right now in Real Food for Real Life in the New York Times. New York Times, if you go to New York Times, I found an article. You don't need to buy those ridiculous things. People are taking 2-liter soda bottles, or pop bottles for those of you who call it pop, cutting the bottom off and putting the tomato plants in that. Use a little bit of newspaper around the stem of the tomato plant. It has to be a sprout, of course. Peppers, things like that. The great big huge tomatoes don't work, and you can grow them in 2-liter bottles. If you use the 2-liter bottles, you got to water them twice a day. But as you know, we're fans of the 5-gallon bucket here. You can take a 5-gallon bucket, carve a hole in the bottom, about a 1-inch to 2-inch hole, and do the same thing yourself. And I was reading and researching that all day. I may forward this article to everybody tomorrow. I've got it saved right here. You can buy them, but a good place to go where people are blogging is cheapvegetablegardener.com. I'm going to say it again. Cheapvegetablegardener.com. Cheapvegetablegardener.com. This person is using jugs of milk, milk jugs, all kinds of stuff. And the moderate to smaller cherry tomatoes, the bigger tomatoes fall off. But this weekend we're probably going to be doing this, and we'll tell you how it goes. Depending on the amount of sunlight and stuff you have, if you're in a real dry, hot climate, the smaller the jug, the more you got to water, because gravity will pull it out, and then also the heat will superheat it being in a plastic container. But they're saying that there's no benefit to doing it this way, but I would argue that yes, there is. When you live in a place like we do, where there are gophers and every kind of creepy critter, the deer, we can raise them up high. You put them on ropes and raise them up in the tree so the deer don't get them. You don't have to put cages around them to support them. So upside down vegetable growing is a real good technique. So I wanted to talk to you about that a little bit. Let's see, where am I here? Get back to the chat room. So that's just something there. That if you want to look at, just to touch that. What I wanted to talk about today being Monday, every Monday I'm going to start the week off now with talking a little bit more about Scripture. Now, my vehicle is being repaired and I don't have my King James Bible. So when I take a verse and I read it and it's not King James, please don't freak out. Rocky Hill saying that's plant torture. Don't freak out that I'm reading to you just from my notes and from other people's books. That I'm not using the actual King James. I implore you. In this whole library, I couldn't find another King James. Of course, I can't see very well. I think we got a Gideon's. What's that translation over there, Lou?
I don't know.
Don't yank your headphones off. I found like 3 copies of Sun Tzu, but what version is it? What's it say? Say King James? Doesn't say on the cover? Whatever Gideon puts in the hotels is probably New Living Translation.
Does do King James.
Is it King James? So we're going to talk about to obey God or man. In times it's okay to lie to the authorities. Yeah, that's right. Now, God ordained civil government, and righteous civil government should be obeyed. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's God, self, family, church, civil government. It's in that order. God first,
yeah,
yourself second.
King James.
It's King James good.
It has
thou shalt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Let's see. So I may have you turn to some of these verses and find them for me so that I can read them in context. And I don't have any glasses. They're all in the other room. Now, when you tell people that there is a biblical doctrine to everything, they go, oh, yeah, that's great. Until you say lying, or as we cushion a little bit, you say deception, the biblical doctrine of deception or disobeying civil authorities. But it's in there in the Bible. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's Acts 4:19 and 20. Now the scriptures command general obedience to family, church, and civil government and authorities. Now if you go to Romans 13, 1 through 4, Timothy 2, 1 and 2, it's all in there. But you have to test scripture against scripture. It's not blind obedience to civil government. Not all governments are meant to stand. God may use them as a spanking tool, or as he kept certain tribes around to train Israel to war, he may be doing this to see, to make sure that we react properly to tyrants. You know, disobedience to tyrants is obedience to the Lord, right? Well, and there's all kinds of parables in the Bible. If you go to Exodus 1, 17, remember when the Pharaoh said all Hebrew boys under a certain age should be slaughtered? Because of the prophecies, he didn't want to have challenged. Well, the midwives disobeyed Pharaoh's decree, didn't they? They let some, and then you know where we, you know, Moses was left to live. Is that so? Should Moses' mother have allowed the soldiers to kill him? Should the midwives have killed every child they delivered because Pharaoh said so? Pharaoh's civil government. He's obviously in charge. It's. What was that noise? Is that me?
That's you.
That's me grinding up against this ratty old table. Now, Moses' parents hid their child and kept him for 3 months against the law of Pharaoh. That's in Hebrews 11:23. Hebrews 11:23. Don't believe me. Go look it up. So when Moses' parents hid him, what was that? You know, should they go to prison for that? What's going to happen within this next year when they say, okay, all you homeschoolers, you are forced to send your children to public school or you'll go to jail. Are you just going to obey that? An unjust mandate like that? When we have the examples in the Old Testament. And where is it here? And those of you that are saying, but that's Old Testament. You're quoting Old Testament. Old Testament's not to be obeyed. I'm a New Testament Christian.
It changed.
It's a new covenant. I'm not a Jew. Why do I have to do the Old Testament? Well, let me give you something here. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm going to read what I got here in my notes. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's, of course, the New Living Translation. No, wait, no, that's King James. That's King James. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning it's God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, meaning it is of value and to be used. For reproof, meaning to make sure things are done right. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, to guide us on our way. That the man of God may be perfect, and we all know that perfect is unattainable, but we should be complete. That's what it means here. The word perfect here, if you go back to the Hebrew word, the word they're using there is complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What was that, Lou?
You mean Greek word?
The Greek. What did I say, Hebrew?
Hebrew?
Yeah, it's Greek. Thank you, Lou. See, that's why I keep them around. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And at that time, there was New Testament. When did the New Testament get put together? It was being made while he was saying this, right? He was writing these letters and being recorded, and you know, later it was put together in what we know as the New Testament. So the Old Testament, the stuff that I'm giving you here in the Old Testament, we're being told that, hey, you better study that Old Testament and you better apply it. Just because the Messiah came doesn't mean that we're doing away with what was taught in the Old Testament. Now, Moses worked to free his people from the bondage in Egypt, didn't he? Now, that was counter to Pharaoh's decree. It was counter to the norms and doctrines of that day. Jews were slaves. But Moses, who had been raised as by an Egyptian family, went against even the kindness of the people that had raised him. You know, his adopted father disregarded his Hebrew heritage and made him let him sit at the table with the Pharaohs, right? He went against all that. So, oh, what a traitor. These people took him in and look what he did. No, he obeyed God. Just as we're to obey God today. So I don't care if you sit at the right hand of Pharaoh and you know who you are. Those of you that work for the government, those people that are coming back to the church that left because they were scared and you know, we didn't get busted, they're coming back. I'm going to hand you a butter knife and a Bible like we talked about on Friday. Moses, who walked among the Egyptians pretty much as an equal, still rebelled against them because he knew it was right. Now, Rahab, moving up a little bit, is twice commanded in Scripture, James 2:25 and Hebrew 11:31. She's commended, rather, for disobeying her pagan Canaanite government and protecting the Hebrew spies. Who's got the phone? Answer it.
It's Frank.
Yeah, well, tell him we're on the air. So,
yeah.
Rahab, we know what she did. She hid. Remember they went out on the roof? She hid spies.
Yeah.
She hid spies. Counter to what her government was doing, but she was obeying God, right? Now, David, who is probably the most complex of all the Old Testament heroes. What do you want, Lou?
That's where we are at.
He's probably out there.
No, he's down here.
Okay. Now, David, he fled from King Saul, evaded capture on numerous occasions. He lived in the hills as a bandit, didn't he? He did not give himself up, but neither did he harm Saul when he had the opportunity to. There was a balance there. Even though Saul was going to run him through with a javelin, he fled. I'm not saying that's what we should do today, but that's just one example of dealing with a tyrant. Avoid them. There's a biblical doctrine of flight. I'm going to have the pastor come in and do that. It's better that he teach it than I do. Now, the army of Israel intervened to stop King Saul from executing his son. Remember Jonathan? Now, although legally condemned to death, the army successfully rescued Jonathan from the unjust and foolish command of the king. That's in 1 Samuel 14. So, to go after a king who's unjust is biblical. You cannot simply say that, well, he's the king. He has to be obeyed. Now, let's go the other way around. Remember I said David was complex? Nathan, the prophet, confronted King David and rebuked him for the crime of adultery and murder in 2 Samuel 12. Remember that? Nathan went to him and says, you are that man. You coveted another man's wife and you committed murder. The king is not always the last and best authority, right? Well, never. It's the Lord. It's Lord Jesus Christ. No king but King Jesus. I can go on. I got more of these. When Queen Jezebel began her bloody purge of God's prophets, the prophet Obadiah defied her edicts by hiding hundreds of prophets. Now, you'll find that in 1 Kings 18. So, people who will argue, what if this gets ugly and Christians are being persecuted, we're not supposed to hide, and anybody who hides us should be thrown in prison. And the funny thing of it is, I'm getting most of my letters from Christians who are like, oh no, Romans 13, man, they tell us to turn in our guns, we got to. See, as the pastor said in the study last week, the evil Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant under the certain conditions as he led people to become righteous. Yeah, Olima had listened to the previous Wednesdays. Yeah, week three is up. We don't have it up. We didn't play it here, but we put week three, America's Providential History, is up on the church website. We just didn't have the bandwidth to do two. God can use evil kings to bring his people into obedience like he did with Nebuchadnezzar, like Olima pointed out. We don't know, I have my suspicions, that instead of sending America to Babylon, like God's done to his people in history, he brought Babylon to us by what? Giving us a foreign, corrupt king by the name of Obongo. He can be used in the evil of Obongo. I'm not going to question God's ways. But I know that disobedience to tyrants is obedience to God. When Queen Jezebel began her bloody purge of God's prophets, The prophet Obadiah defied her edicts by hiding hundreds of prophets, okay? That's a big one that's maybe coming up soon. When you people in the cities that haven't heeded the warnings and you're still in the cities, people are going to come to you, especially if they're of the persecuted Christian types or enemies of the state. It happened in Michigan. Look what happened when those scumbag, Southeast Volunteer Militia guys. I was on their website today. I had to check it out just to see. When some of the Hutaris were fleeing and they went to them and they knocked on their door, you know what these guys did in that militia group? They called the FBI. They obeyed Romans 13. These are things you have to bring into consideration into what you're going to do. Are you going to call the FBI when a Christian militia guy whose family just got wiped out and swept up, and he's looking for his stash that he kept at your house, and suddenly you're like, oh no, go away! Go away! I don't want to be in contact with you. Now Elijah pronounced judgment on King Ahab for his injustices in 1 Kings. And he also refused to answer the summons of King Ahab, and I love that. In the Bible, we are taught that if an unjust government issues what? A warrant? A summons? A subpoena? And you don't go, that's obeying God. I know what you're saying. Oh, you're talking horrible. You're going to get in trouble for that. One of the names that I use has been getting jury summonses. I don't want to be part of any railroading of any citizen. So I send back to him and said, I don't want to take part in it. You're a corrupt system. They issued a bench warrant for my arrest each time I do it. And I have to call and say, no, I have a religious objection to going. And I keep having to do this. It's the second time it's happened in this state. It's happened in other states. I will not honor an unjust edict. And there are times when it's been outright malicious in the Bible, because they didn't have standing armies all the time. When Jehu mobilized the military to overthrow King Ahaziah, and Queen Jezebel in obedience to the word of God. That's in 2 Kings book 9. Jehoshaphat rescued the infant Joash from Athaliah's agents who were sent to slaughter him, 2 Kings. Physical force has been used throughout the Old Testament to stop tyrants. Now, we're labeled right-wing extremist terrorists because we don't obey unjust mandates. Extra constitutional things they've invented. Pretty much anything after the first 10 amendments has been just corruption, right? They label us. They pull us over. You can wear a hat that says Harley Davidson and you get questioned by the Gestapo just because you're wearing a certain kind of clothing or you're in a certain neighborhood at a certain time. They can do all these things. Well, we can't let them do it. And to simply comply and go along is to be complicit in our own slavery and to be anti-Christian. That's right. I'm calling people who go with the flow to get along as anti-Christian. You can call yourself a Christian all you want, but you're lying. You're a traitor to the cause of liberty and you're a traitor to the Lord. Now, Jeremiah was considered a traitor by his government when he proclaimed God's word of judgment and called for repentance and surrender during the siege by the Babylonians. Remember? That's in Jeremiah 38. Remember Daniel who refused to pray? Refused to eat defiled food that had been offered up to pagan gods? Today, the same people doing the same thing get thrown in jail, right? At the very least, you get a boot on your neck and questioned. They may release you. Go into Google and type in police brutality and spend 2 or 3 days watching all those videos. And of course, one of my favorite stories, the three little Hebrew children. I remember when I was a kid, I went to a Bible study and they were teaching this for Sunday school in the town I grew up in. Shadrach, Meshach, and what I thought was a big Negro was actually Abednego. They took the fiery furnace over praying to a person who thought he was God. They weren't going to pray to a golden image. They weren't going to obey the king. And they said, we'll take the test of fire. Are you willing to take the test of fire? And we know what happened. They stoked that fire hotter than it had ever been stoked before. The guards who threw them in melted. But yet Jesus appeared in that furnace, didn't he? It was one of those pre-Christ appearances of the Son of God, and protected them. And then when they came out, how many conversions took place there? Oh my, look at their God. Do you have that kind of faith? Yeah, OT, yeah. And imagine today, how many of you are willing to take a beat down from a cop just because you're not willing to bow and be a slave? We've talked about this up here. Yeah, hands in the studio audience go up. Throw them a t-shirt. No, we don't have any t-shirts yet. We'll get some. We don't, like Olimar says, we don't have the spirit of fear. When the cop pulled us over because they thought Stacy was slightly swerving the other day, I looked back to Lou and said, hey, it may be on. Get ready. I grabbed my can of wasp spray. I did. And I said, if he pulls me out of the car and starts out letting them pray. God bless these kids. I mean, I don't like public cesspool, but the kids are out front protesting. The Christian kids are saying they want to do it. It's happening now, folks. Nothing has changed. It goes in cycles. You know, hey, blatter the old boss, meet the new boss, same thing. It doesn't matter. Nothing has changed. The persecution of Christians or God's people, let's just say God's people, is continuing. Everybody knows the story of Esther. When she went to the king to help save her people, she violated a king's mandate that no one ever enter his palace without being asked. She committed capital trespass. Anybody who did it was beheaded. She knew that she ran the risk of being beheaded for bringing evidence against one of his, one of his henchmen that was conniving to get her people slaughtered. She took that risk. A woman from the Old Testament did this. A hero. It's not just men. There are female heroes in the Bible too. I talked about Rahab and all that stuff. I mean, I love the one, I can't remember her name. She ran the ice pick through the king's ear. We'll talk about that at a later date when we talk about the justification for violence. Esther is a great story, especially to our sisters in the militia out there. Liberty does not come without a price, and it definitely doesn't come without risk. I'm going to do a whole show on women of the Confederacy. I've been reading through the book, and there's some great stories of the sacrifice and courage of women in the Confederacy in the last war of federal aggression. And I think that'll bolster and encourage the women of the cause, and I want to do a whole 2 hours on that. Let's go back even further, the time of Christ's birth, you know, right around after, a couple of years after he was born, the wise men. They went to Herod. Herod brought him in and said, what are you doing in my territory? Oh, we're looking for the prophesied child. Really? You're looking for the prophesied child? And, of course, Herod knew this was prophesied that he would take the crown from him. He didn't understand that it was not an earthly crown. He was an idiot, Herod. We all know how Herod was. And he went to these three wise men and said, okay, do me a favor. When you find this guy, will you tell me where he's at and come back here? And they said, oh, yes. He was the magistrate of that land. He commanded them, when you find this child, come back and tell me so he can send his soldiers and kill him. Well, after the three wise men came and gave their gifts, or however many wise men there are, we're not really sure if there were three. There were three gifts, so they always say that it could have been 50, it could have been two, we don't know. First thing they did after they found the Christ child, they gave the gifts, they blessed them, they hightailed it out of the country in a different route than when they came in, because they knew if the king found them, they might be tortured or be forced to give up the location of the Messiah. I mean, we've got the Bible is just replete with these stories of courage and outright disobedience and righteous rebellion. We can't be rebels. Rebels is bad. You know, that's why I don't ever use, oh, I'm a Southern rebel. I don't like that term. We're not rebelling. It's the government that's rebelling against God and the Constitution. And then after he was born, what did Joseph do? He didn't stick around to have his child killed at the point of a sword or a spear. He hightailed it to Egypt. He fled the country, which was, you know, he got out of there. Flight, the biblical doctrine of flight again comes up. He took his family into Egypt and raised them there. Then you get into the New Testament. You get into Acts. Peter and John, oh, the beatings those men took. Because it was against the law to go and preach the gospel of Christ in the public areas. And they kept doing it. They were thrown off cliffs. They were beaten with rocks, rods. They were thrown in prison. Remember the one time when he was thrown in, when Paul was thrown in prison? He was a Roman citizen, remember? Paul was a Roman citizen. He was the formerly Saul, who was the one who persecuted Christians. This guy was awesome. I mean, this guy had guts. He and Luke are my two favorite. When they realized he was a Roman citizen, they're like, "Uh-oh, we didn't mean. We're sorry, sir." Go. He goes, "No, I'm not leaving this jail until I get an apology." And he stayed in jail. He wouldn't leave until he got an edict saying that what they did to him was wrong. Now, what would be the application of this today? Going after cops for false arrest, brutality, abuse of power, unjust warrants. You don't just take it and stand by. You go after them. Now, he went after them in a legal sense. That's fine. I think we're a little bit past that now. But that's just one man's opinion. I just love that. Paul refused to leave without an apology. I mean, that's just great. And Acts 5:29 says it. We ought to obey God rather than men, right? I mean, I can't even see a justification for doing otherwise. And when I hear Christians say, well, Romans 13 says we're supposed to, if the government says give in your guns, we're supposed to give in our guns. Look at all those pastors that helped in Katrina to convince their followers to bend over and hand over their weapons. Any preacher, pastor, alderman, whatever faith you follow, whatever you call the guy up there in front talking, who serves the government instead of the Lord shouldn't be listened to. You should walk right out of that church. If they get up there and say, oh, it's your civic duty to pay income tax, walk out. Walk out. You're not going to change them. You may write them a nice letter and say, hey, look, you're in violation of all these other verses. You're just taking Romans 13 and you're running with it because it helps you. You know, it's not the way you're supposed to do it. Now, Junius Brutus wrote a book called The Defense of Liberty Against Tyranny. The book was actually written in 1579. I tried to find a copy of it here in the library, and I couldn't. But it's Vindicae Contra Tyrannos, Latin, of course. And it was written around 1579 amidst the vicious persecution of the Huguenot Protestants in France. For those of you that don't know the plight of the Huguenots, they would allow them to move in and take over a chunk of land, usually land that was just nasty, full of rocks and trees. And for years, they'd break their backs, removing the trees, moving the rocks, making it fertile, making it valuable. And then the Catholic government would say, oh, thanks for doing all that work, and then go in and slaughter them and chase them off the land. The Huguenots have got a long history of persecution, especially by the Papists and the Jesuits. And this book was written around that time. Now, using vigorous biblical examples, Brutus, not Brutus who killed Caesar, but the author Junius Brutus, addresses the rights of the people in response to various forms of tyranny, which were very real issues in the 16th century Europe. Now, the book's divided into four questions. The first question is whether subjects are bound and ought to obey princes if they command that which is against the law of God. Let me put that into English. Should we do what the president tells us, even if it's against the Bible? If the government comes down and says churches cannot speak out on anything that would offend sodomites, churches cannot speak on anything political, they can't recommend who you vote for, they can't talk about local bond issues, and any pastor who does will go to jail. That's what's happening in Australia, Canada, and England right now. And we've got a hate crimes legislation bill that's being processed right now. Mm-hmm. If you want to know more about it, go to Pastor Pike's website, and we got a link on our site. What's it called? Truthtellers.org. Thank you, Lou. Truthtellers.org, and you can learn more about that hate crime legislation. So if that passes, somebody got a call? Do we have a duty to the government to obey that? And if our pastor says something about sodomites being sinful, we're supposed to turn them in? Now, the things they were talking about back then are completely different than today, but the message is the same. We're not bound to obey kings that violate the Bible. The minute they violate the Bible, they are no longer in a seat of just authority. Now, I hope this is making sense. A lot of people kind of freak out when I mix history, government, and the Bible, and they get a little upset. Luke, could you cue up a song and a commercial? I need to get a drink of water. So just get the commercial ready. Go ahead and play it. We'll be back right after this. Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Well. We're back. I'm Dutch Jones. That was kind of a late break. I didn't hit the 30-minute mark there. It's 5:52 p.m. Pacific time. So we're going to have a short little segment here where I'll just kind of wrap it up on this subject. And then, of course, at the top of the hour, we're going to switch over to Liberty Tree Radio, and I'm going to talk about that article in the, or that full-page ad that mentions that they're looking up. Oh, you play another song, I'll fade it out there. You got to stop? Okay, cool. The full-page ad with the military Mexican guy looking for Arizonians, you know, so we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about Jamaica is in turmoil. We've got the whole North Korean thing. We're going to talk about potential fallout from that. We're going to talk about the debacle in the Gulf and how all this is fitting into one big chess game where they're going to distract us and they're going to come knocking on the door. We're also going to talk a little bit about the UN treaty to disarm. I'm getting a lot of panicked emails, which you've got to understand. Hillary signing it does not make it go into law. It needs to be ratified by both the Senate and the House and signed by the President. Now, I still have faith in those thug Republicans up there that they're not going to sign it, so I don't think it's going to get through. But the fact that she signed it is high treason. The fact that she was ordered to sign it by Obongo is high treason, so we'll talk about that a little bit. But I want to wrap this up. I get emails every day. I get about 100 emails now, and more than that if you count my Facebook stuff. The Facebook ones are always good because I only allow people to be my friends that are like-minded. But the other stuff I get, because I get email at Dutch Jones Show, because I post comments and blogs on news articles just to promote the show, too. I'm fishing for new listeners. But I get a lot of hate mail saying, you Christians, you mixed militancy and all that, you're just giving a bad name. Last night, when the Exeter Militia was up here, both of the guys that were putting in the wiring said that when they've told friends about it, oh, it sounds like a cult. It sounds like the Davidian compound. What you idiot Christians out there and non-Christians that throw mud at us don't realize is up until 40 years ago, that's the way the church was supposed to be in America. It still is. It's supposed to still be that way. We're supposed to be physical and spiritually at war with principalities, with Satan, with evil men and evil spirits. We're called to do war on both planes of existence. Do you understand that? We are to be prayer warriors and we are to be sword warriors. And I'm not talking about the word of the Lord. I'm talking the little s, like Lou pointed out so judiciously a couple of days ago when we were talking about that. We are Christian soldiers, whether you want to be or not. The minute you take on that salvation, you're baptized into the army of the Lord. Now, your role in it may change. Your role may change a lot, depending on where you are in life and your abilities. I'm not saying everybody's going to sling stones with their little, you know, they're not going to be throwing javelins. Lord knows I'm not physically fit to do that kind of stuff. I'm a garrison soldier. I'm part of the alarm squad. But we cannot and we must not allow other Christians to redefine what is right here. Where's my Bible? Right over there in the Bible. The Gideon Bible over there. And the verses I gave you. You need to be armed with those. And I highly recommend that you go to Amazon.com, you Google Peter Hammond, and you get The Christian at War. Or you can go to the church's website and order it through us. I don't know, what are these, $5?
Yeah.
Plus shipping and handling. A donation of $5, you go to the – Lou, put the church's website in there. You can get Peter Hammond's The Christian at War. I use this thing weekly in my email. Somebody will say, oh, you can't do that. You know, Abraham resorted to military action to rescue Lot from the four heathen kings in Genesis 14. The first book of the Bible, Abram, you know, because Abram back then, he was, is commanded to take his militia and free Lot. Somebody in there wrote Deborah. Deborah and Barak, the good one, were led by the Lord to conquer Sisera and the Canaanite armies. That's in Judges 4:14. Thank you, Jozalai, for bringing that up. It's $6? $6 for The Christian at War by Peter Hammond. And he's going to be at our conference October 3rd and 4th. You can buy it there from him. You can get him to sign it, like I got one of mine signed from him. Yeah, I don't normally get autographs, but I got Peter Hammond's autograph. Now, I told for those of you that are just joining in, there's been a change. We're going to have to charge for the conference this year because the caliber of speakers we have to supply armed security to protect them. Peter Hammond has a fatwa on his head. Chuck Baldwin is an enemy of the state, and John Weaver has been labeled a neo-Confederate, by a right-wing radical by the U.S. government. So we have to have armed security this time around. We have to make sure that we can protect them. And we're flying one guy in from South Africa, folks. So there will be a fee involved, and I apologize. I was building it up. There was no fee, but I wasn't being very realistic, and I don't represent the church. I was going on what we had done. But after we had our little meeting, there's no way. So there's gonna be a fee. When we get the flyers put up, I'll make sure all of you get the flyer. I'll PDF it. I think they do a PDF of it. Is that how you do it, Lou?
You gotta scan it.
But how did you do it on the website? Was it a PDF or just an HTML?
No.
Picture?
The guy from First Amendment sent something.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, we'll make sure you guys all get applications. I want to see at least 30 of my listeners here. I want to meet you folks. Last year I had about 20 people show up. And none of them introduced themselves to me because I don't know if they were scared or they thought I was busy. But later on, oh, yeah, I was there. I saw you. So if you want to learn this stuff, you got to learn this from the source, not just from me. Go ahead, Lou, play some music. We're going to be back after the break. We're going to come in about 2 minutes on Liberty Tree Radio. Go ahead and play the music, Lou.
And native to the soil, fighting for our liberty with treasured blood and toil. And when our rights are threatened, the cry rose near and far. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Was faithful to her trust, like friends and like brethren, kind were we and just. But now when northern treachery attempts our rights to mar, we hoist on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. First gallant South Carolina nobly made the stand. Then came Alabama, who took her by the hand. Next quickly Mississippi, Georgia, and Florida. All raised on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. And fair Louisiana, join us in the fight. Davis, our loved president, and Stephens, statesman rare. Now rally round the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. The old Dominion state, with the young Confederacy, at length has linked her fate. Impelled by her example, now other states prepare to hoist on high the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. The bonnie blue flag that bears a single star. Then cheer, boys, cheer now, raise the joyous shout. For Arkansas and North Carolina now have both gone out. And let another rousing cheer for Tennessee be given. The single star of the bonnie blue flag is grown to be 11. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Hurrah for the bonnie blue flag has gained the 11th star. Hurrah, hurrah for Southern rights, hurrah. Strong we are and brave, like patriots of old, we'll fight our heritage to save and Rather than submit to shame, to die we would prefer. So cheer for the body blue flag that bears a single star. Hoorah, hoorah for Southern rights, hoorah. Hoorah for the body blue flag has gained the 11th star. Hoorah, hoorah for Southern rights, hoorah. Hoorah for the body blue flag has gained the 11th star.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, boom! We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
Attention!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going
to
call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Patch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Woo-hoo! We were playing some Confederate music there on the bumper. I'm Dutch Jones, and welcome to the Dutch Jones Militant Christian Radio Show. We come to you Monday through Friday on my page, dutchjones.tk, and on You Broadcast. And we're very happy to be for an hour from 6 to 7 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on Liberty Tree Radio. And it's called Upstream, Lou?
Ustream.
I can never keep track of all this. Ed Kornke got us up on Ustream, so we appreciate it. Welcome all you listeners. We're also on MySpace and Facebook, so we never know how many listeners we have. I think I looked on the U Broadcasting yesterday, and we had over 300 from Friday, so that's pretty cool. We like to have a lot of listeners. And I implore you to tell two people a month about the show. And if we grow exponentially like that, we'll get the word out. Well, for those of you that don't know who we are, we're coming to you from Cahuilla, California. That's right. We are a militia group, a Christian militia group, I must say, behind the enemy lines in the People's Republic of Socialist Fabian, California. And we've been here, the church has been here since 1964. If you listen to the sermon that we play on the church's website, you'll hear that. 1964, the church has been here and been a stick in the eye of liberals everywhere in this state. Why are we here? Why haven't we given up the fight here? Because these are the front lines. Now, I'm not saying that Wisconsin has had it any easier than us. I'm just saying what happens here happens where you are later down the line, and we're fighting it first. We're on the cutting edge. You're a surfer. What do they call that when you're gleaming the tube or something like that? What do you call it?
We're on the peak.
We're on the peak of fighting tyranny here in Southern California. That's why we stay here. I get a couple emails every once in a while. Why are you there, man? You sound like you're squared away. Why don't you move to Idaho or something? Well, maybe. But I'm not giving up. I know the Mexican border has moved to Bakersfield now, I figure.
Yeah, you're in an abandoned Taliban cave now.
Yeah, we are in an abandoned Taliban cave. We've moved a location. It may sound acoustically better because we're not out front with the glass and right next to the kitchen. We're surrounded by law books, of all things, and electronic equipment behind me. Maybe later we'll turn on the webcam so you can get a look at it now that the light's gotten a little better. But you can get a look at what we're doing here. But we try to bring a Christian militant message to whoever will listen. On the transition, I do a two-hour show, and I had a listener, Olima, ask, because we fly the Confederate flag. If you're watching our U broadcast stream, you'll see the Confederate flag in the upper left-hand corner waving. One, we fly it for states' rights. We believe that the first war of federal aggression was not about slavery. That is ridiculous. This flag is not about slavery. This flag is not about hate. It is about the right of states to leave a contract. That's what the Constitution is. When the federal government, which was created by the states, not the other way around, violated certain aspects of that contract. Also, for those of you that don't know, and I was asked to explain this, and that's good, I don't mind explaining it, that stars and bars, the Confederate battle flag that you see, is actually the flag of St. Andrew, the same flag that Scotland uses. St. Andrew was crucified on a cross, an X, because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified on the same cross that Christ was. So it is a Christian flag. It's a Christian battle flag. For those of you that don't believe me, the Sudanese, these are a bunch of Africans, the Sudanese People's Liberation Army flies the same flag when they go into battle against Muslims. I have pictures of it. We have a missionary over there, Peter Hammond. We were talking about him before the break. We sent them a Confederate battle flag, and they used it in battle against the Muslims. So it's not about racism, it's a flag that talks about states' rights, resistance to tyranny, because that's what the South was. You know what the Southern logo is on in the Confederate states? Deo Vindicare. And if I mispronounce that, forgive me, but my Latin isn't as good as it used to be. It never was good. It means God will vindicate. God will vindicate. The cause of the South is the cause of us all, especially now in this, the second war of federal aggression. That's why I fly the Confederate flag. And if you go to DutchJones.tk, you're going to see the American flag upside down. Not since Waco have I flown Old Glory. And if I have to fly it, like on that page, I fly it upside down. Not out of disrespect for the flag or the men and women that gave their lives to bring it to us, but out of a sign of distress. I'm a military policeman. I always will be. Like once a Marine, always a Marine, I was a military policeman. I had to learn all the code and conduct. I've forgotten a lot of it, of how to present the colors, but in a sign of distress. And our nation is in distress. That's why I fly that flag upside down, and that's why I choose to fly the battle flag. I also fly the Christian battle flag when our computers allow us to do it. We don't have enough bandwidth to throw it up there. But it's the red cross on the blue field in the upper left-hand corner on a white flag. Some people say, oh, that's the flag of the Vatican. No, it's not the Vatican. It's the Christian battle flag. It was used during the Confederacy. It was used during the time of Cromwell. When Cromwell, a Protestant leader, was fighting the potential, treasonous activity of his king who was bringing Catholics in. So I don't care, you can't say it's the flag of the Vatican. They use a yellow cross anyway. But the red, there are some white supremacist groups that use it, but I can't control who uses it. There's some Christian identity people that use that flag. I can't. They also use a Bible. Am I not supposed to have a Bible now? Because some people you disagree with have it. So that's why we fly the Confederate flag. It's an excellent question, Olima. And I can go even more into it. I've got all kinds of little pieces of literature here and there that explain why we fly the Confederate flag. It's about states' rights. Wow, and I listened Friday to everything that Mark Kornke put up on the archives for the intelligence report, and he was spot on about everything going on right now, specifically in the Gulf. So I'm not gonna belabor the point because he was just on before us, and he said I'm not gonna cover the same stuff and bore you guys. But isn't it amazing that every time something's coming down the pike, like the UN gun control treaty? The hate crimes legislation that's going down to shut down our pastors and our churches.
The Patriot Act
being, used all over the place. People being rounded up, all this. They have these big natural incidents and disasters. North Korea, more than just sword rattling, they sunk a ship and killed 45 South Koreans. They're distracting us. And I know you guys know that. What might surprise you is how I would react to this, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But everything that they're doing is to embolden and create a broader distraction. Now, let's say this thing starts off in North Korea. Let's not say starts off, because for those of you that don't know, it never ended. They're just under a ceasefire. There was never a peace treaty signed. They couldn't even agree to the shape of the table. And it's not even a war. It's a UN police action. During the Cold War, it was to prevent the domino effect of nations falling to communism and all that garbage. Now it's just an economic thing that we keep up. It's nice for us to have a bunch of Marines there, and so I think it's some light infantry rapid deployment group is there, like 30,000 troops. It's more about maintaining economic spheres of influence in the Pacific is what it is now. It's not about communism anymore. That's why. And now you've got Hillary running around trying to negotiate with everybody so we can spank them. I mean, they've already got every sanction in the world on North Korea. And now they're going to take away everything they have and just infuriate this little maniac And that doesn't mean I'm a friend of the, you know, I'm taking the U.S.'s side in this. But it's like they know there's a maniac in North Korea, so they're manipulating him. You know, he's disputing where his borders go out into the water. You know, what's their territory? They've been shooting at each other ever since the ceasefire started. I missed being deployed there because I'm too short. I'm only 5'7", and the MPs had to all be 5'11 or taller. But when my guys came back to the First Army when I was there, I talked to them, and the stories they told me about that country are amazing. They're still fighting in tunnels. There are skirmishes that go on constantly. This one happens to be a major event because it involved sea lanes and they torpedoed somebody. But there's been bloodshed perpetually in the Korean Peninsula, manipulated by China and us on both sides. There's no good guy in this. But what they're using it for is a distraction. Now, what I see happening in this, and if I'm wrong, and if but before the end of this year, I see them going into a shooting war. Now, the risks here are that they have medium-range missiles in Korea, and he keeps making stuff like, how much do you like Hawaii? How much do you like L.A.? Now, every time they test one, supposedly it fails miserably and falls into the ocean. That's our sub-network shooting it down. We know that. That's our laser aircraft shooting it down. I have no doubt of that. You know, I don't think any missile he launches is going to hit anything outside of his area of operations. They may even go off over North Korea. But the real problem is it's going to instigate more state-sponsored terrorism. He's already dealing with Syria. He's already dealing with Iran. He's got fissionable material all over the place. And what it's going to do, it's going to cause an increased threat level in the U.S. Plus manpower needs. We're tapped. They're already holding back everybody in the military. Stop loss, for those of you who know that term. They're not letting people get out when their prearranged date comes up. I see this as another tool to try and get at, was it Rangel from New York? He wants the draft brought back. They're going to take your sons and daughters, as Pastor John Weaver says, when we select kings over judges. So this is going to be a great multi-purpose tool for them to exploit. Remember, what was it Romney said? We never let a crisis go unexploited. I'm misquoting him, but you get the point. You know, Rahm Emanuel, that kosher mobster in the White House, that Red Sea pedestrian. We heard that today. We were watching a 1986 movie called The Cold War Killers, and they had this member of parliament go, well, I think he goes a little bit too much for the Red Sea pedestrians. And we're like, what? You know, I don't think I ever heard that in a movie before. Set Monty Python, yeah, Red Sea pedestrians. It's. I think Stace is home with the grub. Good. So the implications of this isn't going to be what you think. They're talking, you know, oh, it's going to be a full-blown war. No, it's just going to be a way for them to utilize this threat. Hello, Stacey.
Hello.
And to further victimize, thank you. She brought McDonald's and Taco Bell. Great, thank you. To exploit the Patriot Act to push tyranny upon us and to rob us more and more of liberty. Oh, my eyeglasses are in. Hand them to me. Oh. Okay, everybody has to stop what they're doing, and I got my eyeglasses. I got my Buddy Holly glasses. Oh, I broke a nail trying to open them. See if I can open this, folks, because I can't see right now. Oh, look at this.
Look, you broke them opening the box.
Oh, I'm excited.
My spectacles are in.
That was Costello.
Oh, you look like Lou.
Oh my God, Lou and I have the same exact glasses.
Can I turn on the webcam?
Yeah, turn on the webcam now. Turn on the webcam now, guys. Yeah, I can see. But we cannot let our guard down. We have to. Hey, folks, how's it going?
How you doing? Smarter?
I feel a lot smarter just putting these on. Do I look like Clark Kent? Or do I look like the scary Elvis Costello?
Or do you look like me?
Or do I look like Lou? Lou's got the. Are they the same glasses, actually? They're pretty much the same.
Can you see?
Oh, yeah. I can see, and I never realized just how scary Lou looks.
How about me?
Y'all, you're beautiful.
Aww.
You're beautiful, too, studio audience.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the topic here. Sorry for the jovialness, but you never know where this show is going to go. Like I said, we're the modern-day campfire. What do I owe? Oh, here's my prescription. I'm not as blind as I thought I was. Cool. great, and I can see stuff now. Oh, this is nice. Huh? Yeah, I can't see me right now. I got to turn on mine. So here, let's do this. I turn down the volume. I'm a little bit behind. We'll get feedback. Woo!
Quit reading your computer with your rifle scope.
Yeah, actually, I can put down my spotting scope and see what people are typing. This is great. My eyes are having, they're kind of, woo! But thanks, folks. Thanks for cheering me on. I hope I get some good comments in the chat room about how dapper I look in these new. I wanted military-looking glasses. I wanted, like, the RPGs. When I was in the Army, everybody that had glasses, all the Four Eyes guys, they called them RPGs. They were rape prevention glasses because any guy wearing them would never get raped. But I'm sure in the politically correct military of today, they wouldn't let them wear these. So anyway, folks, sorry to bring up the topic of rape in such a jovial – but, you know, hey, sorry. But, you know, I have flashbacks. I suffer from PTSD.
I'm scared.
Yeah, I don't take my meds. Okay, but thank you for bringing those in. Just leave the tacos in here. We'll do a break in about 10 minutes, and I'll get to slam a taco or whatever
and
you brought.
Got...
Yeah, everybody else can eat. Don't wait for me. These are the things that I sit around thinking about, not my glasses, the problem over there, the stuff in the Gulf. Now, the thing in the Gulf, we all know what that's about, is to attack offshore drilling. They want us to be so dependent on overseas oil, they're going to do anything they can. They'll even kill, 11, 12 guys on that rig? To drop it so that they could create this environmental disaster so that they can say, look, no more offshore drilling. At the meantime, Obongo's given billions of dollars to South America so they can explore an offshore drill down there. We have China. China. Are we streaming pictures? I can't see it over here. But China in Venezuela right now. Do you think this would have happened even under Kennedy? No, because it wasn't time yet. I'm not saying Kennedy's a hero. I'm just saying it wasn't time yet. They're moving their pieces around, folks. They're going to try and slaughter us, but they got to move all the pieces into place first. They're going to exploit whatever happens naturally, and they're going to instigate it. Now, I'm not saying – in fact, I'll say that oil rig in the Gulf was nowhere near an accident.
It wasn't.
I still think the North Koreans torpedoed it like we're seeing on some reports.
No,
I have no way of proving it.
It was the government.
They still won't say what happened. They go, we don't know why it blew up.
YouTube.
What about YouTube?
Well, a friend on MySpace, they had like a video.
Well, you should have sent it to me then. Yeah, I can't. I wish I could see it.
Do you want large or small?
Back to the show, folks. Boy, look at all those French fries.
Yeah, well,
better save some for me. There's just – it's so obvious now that it's not even funny – I shouldn't even say funny, but they don't even try to hide what they're doing anymore, right? So, let's see, what else are we talking about? They're going on and on about the stuff in Greece. Jamaica right now. Everybody's talking, you know, Greece, and suddenly Jamaica's in a civil war with narco-terrorists, so it's not just a Mexican thing anymore. They've got narco-terrorists, they were going to, and this guy's name is Koch, C-O-K-E. They were going to extradite him to the U.S., and his minions said, no, he's not going. So they've surrounded the airport, thank you, and they're doing everything they can to keep Coke in. Thanks, Angeline. Thanks for the compliment on the glasses. I'm going to eat a french fry.
What did she say? You look nice.
She'd never eat on the air. I about choked it out here. Hang on.
Heimlich
maneuver. We got to teach another first aid class up here, too. I don't think everybody knows how to do that stuff.
I just can't breathe.
So we got Korea. We got the whole issue with Mexico going on that they don't want to solve. And what's the Mexico thing for? It goes in line with the arms control. And even in the articles, I mean, I could sit here and read to you the stuff about Jamaica. And you know what? It's the tags in it. The arms trade that goes through the Caribbean area from America is arming these people. And you know, they're shooting out, they're killing cops, they're burning cars. And meanwhile, we're seeing commercials on cable where they're showing, come to Jamaica. And they're doing this, like, hand thing in the air. And, yeah, they're like, well, come to Jamaica, you know, home of the Jamaican bobsled team. They want your tourism, but you're going to get killed. Mexico takes out a full-page ad in a Tucson and a Phoenix paper that shows a paramilitary guy on the border with binoculars says, we're on the lookout for Arizonians. You tell me that's not a threat. Now, Arpaio goes nuts, of course. You know, our friend Arpaio down there, Sheriff Mack, and Arizona makes good sheriffs. Upset by an ad.
We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
the
gas stations, everybody!
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Patch, Jehu's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Yes, we are completely different. Sorry about that forced break there. We lost signal with our satellite. Again, we are in a new location. I didn't bring that up. We moved to a different part of the building, hoping we'd get better signal, better acoustics in here. We're in the law library now, and very few people come in here because people are done with the law. So, but we still have room for a studio audience, but the acoustics are better in here. I have a, it's more secure. It's deeper in the building. We ran the Exeter Militia. I want to thank them for coming in and running the Cat 5 cables. We still got to run a phone line, though. We don't have phones today, but we will have probably by the end of the week. We're going to run phone lines in here, and we'll get everything set up again. We're going to move our FM transmitter in here. We're just a few days away from boosting our power, so Liberty Tree Radio will be heard all over the valley. They'll hear the intelligence report. They'll hear the Dutch Jones, and so it's going to be great. We're going to be micro-broadcasting at 100 watts, you know, whatever the legal limit is. I got to look it up again, but we'll be doing that. So I apologize for the break there. We're going to have to still wrestle with that. I've been working with the satellite company trying to get more power, more bandwidth, more stuff like that. We'll see what happens, but bear with us. You heard the commercial there. We have Sawyer brand water filters, which are amazing. We have tactical gear, and just help us out. That's all we're asking. Go to DutchJones.tk, DutchJones.tk. Excuse me. Had to hit the burp button there. I downed a taco and a soda during the break. Yeah, I know it's not healthy. It's healthier than I used to be. But we need your financial support, and we need your prayers, but we need your financial support. We're a little behind on our electric bill. We're behind on our satellite bill, all that kind of stuff. So you can go to DutchJones.tk. You see the chip in right there. And I think it uses PayPal. Is that how it works? And if you don't want to use PayPal for now, I think our post office box is going to still be open. We told you that story. They said they're going to lock the building up, but we'll still have access to our post office boxes. Post office box 31, post office box 31, Kawea, California. That's K-A-W-E-A-H, K-A-W-E-A-H, California, 93237. Now, a couple people have sent me money. I got the envelope. It was cut open. And the money was gone. So there's some shenanigans going on there. I call shenanigans on the U.S. Postal Service. But my pastor said what he does is he tells people to wrap it in aluminum foil. He says he's never, when people do that, they can't detect it or something. So wrap the money in aluminum foil, put it in a bar mitzvah card, so maybe they won't want to offend the Jewish family, and send it that way. So we'll take ferns that way, postal money orders, whatever you want to do. We're down to like two bumper stickers, so we won't be giving out bumper stickers for a while. It costs about $50 to get 100 bumper stickers. So once we get some more money, we'll order more bumper stickers, and I'm glad you guys liked them. Please send me pictures of where you put them. We have one individual put it on a stop sign in Boston. You got a little cream right there. A little sour cream on your there you go. Good. Put the webcam on Mom.
No.
But before the break, we were talking about Mexico threatening Arizona, and I don't know exactly when we dropped out, but the Arizona Republic had an ad in it, half-page ad, that showed a military man in Mexico saying, "We're looking for people from Arizona." Now, a spokesperson for their Tourism Board in Sonora said, "Oh, they didn't print the whole thing. It was supposed to say to have fun on our beaches or come here, spend money, something along those lines." No. There are deliberate mistakes that take place. We all know what we're talking about. It's to get into your mind to fear Mexico. Mm-hmm. Now, personally, I would never go to Mexico. I don't know if you guys heard that, but I have a personal boycott. Well, I'm actually probably wanted in Mexico. I know there's a $25,000 bounty on all people who have been Minutemen. What are you doing to the camera?
It's not on.
It's not on. Stacey wants to make sure she's not on camera, so she's like rubbing sour cream all over the lens. But they're playing games with us. Like I said as a joke, the border's already Bakersfield, if not farther north. It's going to fluctuate. They're going to move it. Everything south of there pretty much belongs to the expatriates from Mexico anyway. Why go to their country and give them money? Now, Arpaio's call to refrain from travel comes amid calls for boycotts of Arizona from cities and groups, including some in Mexico. That's because of their new tough immigration law, which is actually not as tough as Mexico's immigration law. Mexico. Try and sneak into Mexico from Guatemala as a Guatemalan or a Honduran or an El Salvadorian and see what happens when you get caught by their border police. If you're lucky, you'll get deported alive, maybe, you know, missing a limb or two. You'll get robbed. If you're a female, you'll be ravaged. So don't, it's just a hypocrisy. But we live in an age of lies, deceit, sanctioned stupidity, and arrogance. So I'm glad Arpaio is saying that, but I mean, why anybody would go to Mexico anyway? I don't want them here. I don't even want legal immigration anymore. The boat is full. We're a lifeboat, and it's full. I get emails all the time from great people in Europe and stuff. They're like, oh, I'd love to come to America. I'm like, well, you can come visit, but go home. I'm sorry.
Spend your money and go home.
We need to put a big closed sign on the Statue of Liberty. In fact, I've said we need to uproot that statue and give it back to that socialist nation of France. It's one of those gifts that you never wanted. It's like on the old Wheel of Fortune, they'd have the porcelain pig. Why do we have the Statue of Liberty? I hate it when I see people showing the Statue of Liberty as a symbol of American independence. It came way later. It was a symbol of their revolution, which was a humanist revolution. The French perverted what we had done and turned it into something, you know, the Robespierre, all those guys. I know just enough history to be angry at other nations. You know, I'm not a professor, an expert. There are people on Liberty Tree Radio that know a lot more than I do. But I don't know why we accepted that stupid statue. Close. Big close sign. Shut down all borders. Get rid of all immigration for now. No refugees. Nothing. Let's go ahead and fight it out amongst ourselves. Have a knockdown, drag out fight here. Rebuild this country. And if there's seven different nations and five of those want to have immigration, you know, Nevada becomes its own country and Harry Reid crowns himself queen for eternity, let him take all the Mexicans. And then all the good people can flee Nevada. But we can't sit back and allow them to exploit all these situations and lose focus. I was in a lot of the forums today, ones I haven't been in since last November, because I left a lot of militia forums angry over just the stupidity and the infighting over the minutiae rather than focusing on the real things. Networking and training and communication are the only three things militias should be doing today. And if there's something I'm missing, tell me about it and maybe I'll agree with you. Individuals should be preparing, but I'm talking as units. We should be working on communicating. The room that we're in, we had to take out several shelves. We're going to put in our amateur radio equipment. What do you got?
A mouse.
Oh, we're going to put in our amateur radio equipment. We're going to put in our 2-meter stuff. We're going to put in our FM transmitters, our CBs. Everything's going in this room because I'm inspired by what's been going on the intelligence report. I want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. So people are still, I mean, all this stuff. Oh, look at the Gulf. Look at this. Look at that. Sure, they're interesting things. Let's talk about the UN treaty. It's not going to change what I'm doing. They're not going to get my guns. I don't care how many treaties they ratify. It's not going to change the fact that I got a rack of rifles sitting right next to me, and I'm not going to just go put them out on the curb and let the recycling truck come and get them because there's a ratification of some ridiculous UN treaty. Talk about the treason of signing it and move on. Don't let it dissuade you. Don't let it take your focus off what's going on. I'm not in the chat room anymore. I think I accidentally closed it. Let me bring that up again here.
Zalife said she's just seeing you with your glasses on with the webcam.
Who said it?
John Zalife.
Yeah, because you froze it, right?
No.
Oh, she's only seeing it now? Yeah. Oh, well, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully it's going good. Maybe there's like a 2-hour lag. You know, just a 2-hour lag here. You don't have the webcam on now, do you?
No.
Yeah, because I got to scratch my nose. I didn't want to look weird. But folks,
oops, sorry.
I came back here because I said it would be quieter, and as soon as Stacy comes in, it's just like she's doing everything she can to make noise. What are you doing?
I was trying to be quiet. giant.
Yeah, okay. Well, but that was, why'd you get that chair when there was a chair right there? Okay, she likes her chair. Well, you can't go on the internet now. You gotta wait, because we gotta hook everything up. Wow, look at everybody's in there. Ed's in there. Wow, it's a big big chat room today. It's funny, I remember the first time I saw Ed the AK-47 a few years ago, I was like, Ed Thiek 47? I just didn't catch it. I didn't understand it was Ed the AK-47. It's like, Ed, oh, I gotta stop this.
Ed Hawk.
Yeah, so Ed the AK-47. I remember seeing that a couple years ago going, who's Ed Thiek? And he's been 47 forever. I was hoping it would pull up the picture, but it's not. That's kind of weird. So I could see how bad I look with these Buddy Holly glasses on.
I could take a picture.
There's absolutely no reason to get swayed. No reason to get pulled off the task. I sent out some letters to people I haven't spoken to in months because I realized when I went on these forums, they're still out there, but they haven't been communicating with us because they're afraid. And I looked at the things they're posting, and these were people that listened to the show 2 years ago. And all they're focusing on is training with four or five guys once every 3 months. They go up into the mountains, and they do what their abilities are. You're only going to – there's a certain training essence that is created when you train with people that aren't your friends. It takes you out of your comfort zone, and it challenges you. Same reason Jesus, when he sent the people out, he sent them out in groups of two and three because he knew that they would promote each other. They would support one another. You get into a training groove. There'll be one guy who knows everything, and he's embarking that on the other three or four guys. One guy will become the leader, and you'll never get outside that comfort zone. Trust me, I've seen it. You can argue with me all you want. However, when you stretch yourself and you're willing to make mistakes, and you're in a training environment where the training is good enough that it's going to push you to make mistakes, because if you have training where you're just going to succeed, it's not good training. And you only train when the sun shines. It's not good training. You know, you want to test your knowledge, your abilities, and your gear, and your unit esprit de corps, I guess. And I'm reaching out to these people here locally in Central California. None of them are, you know, other than the Exeter Militia right now and a couple lone wolves, nobody's responding. And I know there's a lot of guys here. I know we got Colonial Marines. I know that there's the Western Defense Consortium. You know, that's cool. They got really neat names and good websites. The
California Defense Force.
The California Defense Force. Those are firemen, CDF. And they're all out there. And a lot of the websites are gone, like the High Desert Militia of Southern California. You know, I checked into that. I haven't talked to them for a couple of years, and the URL's up. They all ran scared. We can't run scared anymore. This thing's going to happen, folks, and trying not to be noticed isn't going to save you any time or any territory because they already know where you're at.
I think she's on the delay when we...
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. Huh, the Revenue Repressed Americans ad. Are we still streaming, Lou?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as we're still streaming, people will catch up in time and space. See, I'm ahead of everybody. I'm like forward thinking, so I'm like 10 minutes ahead of everybody on the delay. Okay. It's kind of weird, I guess. Maybe let me close down everything here so I'm not using up anything. I'm off the internet, and I won't be using anything up because I've only got about 20 minutes left anyway. So when we offer our trainings on Sundays once a month, we do that to bring people in, not just to recruit, but to get to know people. It's a safe environment. You come to church on Sunday morning, you eat chow with us, and then we do a 2 or 3 hour entry-level training. We do it so we don't embarrass anybody. We have field exercises like we did our search and rescue for a lost, injured child, that kind of stuff on a Sunday afternoon. That's the way they did it during the American Revolution. After church, the men would go out and do parade and drill. Now, we do that sometimes, too. We go through, you know, we try to always involve some type of safety. Like the next third Sunday of the month, we're going to be doing heat casualties. And then we're going to do some field triage, battlefield triage stuff. You know, it's stuff we've had before. Some of us are good at it. Some of us are adequate. Some of us have never heard of it. But unless we train together and get to know each other, when they do come knocking on the door, who are you going to call? Because they've already got your other three buddies down the street because you're all living in the same town. It's just like the Bible. I did not know you. Now, that's not saying I wouldn't help a total stranger out if I see that he's under siege from the bat fags or something. But it'd be easier for me to make that decision if I go, hey, I know that guy. I know his people, and they're solid. Just like what happened with Hutari. A lot of us were going, wow, what's going on there? But you had, you know, the intelligence report folks saying, we know them. We've been to their house. They're solid people. This is a lie. And how did that happen? Because they fellowshipped and trained with them. Now, a lot of people who never met the Hutari are out there making all kinds of wild accusations. Because ignorance breeds what? Fear. And off-the-handle comments. That happened with the Davidians, you know, and I say, oh, they're a cult. And I don't care who you are or how big your militia is, if you're 10 people or 100 people, if you're acting in a vacuum and they come for you, you're done. You're done. Because they'll pick you off one at a time, they'll set up a trap, they'll do whatever it takes. But if 30 or 40 groups of 10 to 50 each are networking and training in their region, it's going to make it a lot harder, isn't it? If you can get on a radio and send out a distress code that's being monitored by three other militias, yeah. Look what happened to the poor folks in Hutari. You know, I'm not saying that they were guilty of anything of not networking, but they had networked with somebody that turned out to be a traitor. You know, called up that, was it Southeast Michigan Volunteer Vegan Militia or whatever they call themselves? I went to their website, and I was just like, But guy calls up, hey, I'm being hounded by the feds. Can you help me? No. And then when he hangs up, he calls the feds. You're not going to know that kind of stuff unless you really relate to people and get to know them well. We've got the Exeter Militia. We don't know how big they are because they're real. They exercise really good unit security. We see the same couple faces over and over again, but you know, and we've got. Some lone wolves that have shown up for training with us. We've got some folks from Southern California that make the 5-hour drive up here for our quarterly live fire trainings and field exercises. That's dedication. And we know that in the best of situations, if they read the horizon and how things are going right, they're going to be here with us. Because we're a fallback for some people. We have fallbacks too. Regular regimented training is key to getting to know your brothers and sisters in the cause. Now, I'm not talking about a chain of command and, you know, a state. I went to, and I'm not knocking the site, but a well-regulated militia, and they had all these regions, and I guess we're like in the 9th division. I don't even know what they were doing. I don't get into that stuff because it's not within my purview of expertise or anything like that. I'm not a logistics person. I'm a training person, and I'm a communications person, and I'm not the best at those either, but nobody else is doing it, so I'm doing it. So now is the time to not live in fear, not focus on these weird little trivial things that they're doing. Sure, they're fun to talk about, and we should discuss them in the context of how they're going to use them to shackle us and how to make certain that they don't get away with this stupidity. Keep an eye on this transmission. Make sure we're still transmitting. Don't play around. You have a job to do. Make sure you do it. You can play in 15 minutes. We have to stay dedicated to the cause. That's why in the last hour previous to this one, what I was talking about was biblical justification for disobeying the federal government and unjust tyrants. And I went through probably 18 or 19 Bible verses that showed examples in the old and a couple in the new where heroes of the Bible just said, no, I'm going to obey God. I'm not going to obey unrighteous kings. So many people, they're too afraid to explore and educate themselves in those realms. They're more interested in looking cool in their jumpsuit with their web gear and all that. That's why I gravitated to Liberty Tree Radio over the years and to the intelligence report, because it was no frills. It wasn't, you know, a lot of posturing and a lot of that. It was just talking about the basics, application, being wise and diligent. I mean, how many militia guys do you know talk about going to rummage sales and that kind of stuff? I listen to a lot of stuff, and mostly they're just talking about procedural things and trying to impress people with their knowledge of the manual of arms and all that kind of stuff. You never know what you can. I remember one time I tuned in and they were talking about how to make sauerkraut in these big ceramic pots. That's practical information we need. The first 15 minutes I talked about growing vegetables upside down. I found an article that said, why buy all that stuff when you can do it with soda pop bottles and five-gallon buckets and all that?
I'm the five-gallon bucket lady.
Yeah. We grow our stuff in five-gallon buckets here because the gophers are just terrible on our food. Yeah. You know, we still got the curse here. Gophers and thorns and insects galore here in the foothills. And deer nibble all our stuff away.
And turkeys.
Yeah, the turkeys aren't so bad. The deer are killing our fruit trees, though. And you've been lax. You haven't been taking care of the deer, Lou. You're going to spend all night out guarding the trees.
I haven't seen any.
Yeah, I think they went over to the pastor's house because they ate his almond trees and stuff over there.
I can't see, but...
But there's a practicality to this, and there's a... I don't want to use the term grassroots, but there's a grounded, good old-fashioned American common-sense way to approach this. Don't get overly excited. You know, when the time comes and we just found out Visalia just spent over $300,000 on an armored vehicle. I mean, their SWAT team got called out like two times last year. And now every city around here is doing roving roadblocks. And, you know, they're supposed to be for DUI, but they'll arrest like 50 people and only two of them will be DUI. Those are the things we got to focus on. We got to look at those and go, okay, where are these? We need an intel network. Okay, it's Friday night. I'm taking my family out for pizza. I want to know how to avoid these roadblocks.
Right.
We're all on the same 2-meter net together, right? No, we're not. Because the folks in my area are like, oh, I'm too afraid. I don't want to go outside my three guys that I know. It's going to get to the point where it'll be too late to network, and sure, then you'll have to stay in, but you're going to be in a vacuum. You can't resist on your block. I mean, look at the Warsaw Ghetto. What'll happen? You can resist as long as you want, but eventually you're going to be smashed. We're part of the greater good here, folks. We're called to defend liberty, the holy cause of liberty. That's why we do what we do here. That's why we're having a conference. We're taking on a big deal here. We're going to have about 300 people here. We've got a guy coming, Peter Hammond, who has a fatwa out against him. We have to supply armed security for him. We got another guy, Chuck Baldwin. You guys all know who he is. He's coming to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He's enemy number one on the Southern Perversion Law Center. And then we've got John Weaver, who's been labeled as a neo-Confederate by the Southern Perversion Law Center. They're all three of them get death threats. We're not afraid of that. We're bringing them into our church, and we're going to invite 300 people to come up here. They'll pay a fee, and for 2 or 3 days, we're gonna have... such fellowship, it's just going to be amazing.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
No, it's longer than 2 days,
awesome,
Lou.
Awesome.
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the people that stay over for shooting. Mm-hmm. The seminars are 2 days, but the whole event, it lasted a week last year.
Yeah, it did.
We did weapons training, entry-level weapons training with the families that decided to stay.
Mm-hmm.
We're not afraid. We're bringing them to our church. You know what happened last year? I had militia guys going, I'd like to go, but I'm afraid it might just be a roundup. They could just come in and take us. These are guys on the other side of the mountains. These are guys in Southern California.
Here.
We've been doing these for 15 years, and they've the FBI showed up. The black helicopters have flown over when Trockman was here. We didn't live in fear. We didn't let them define us and put fences around us yet. We're never going to let them put fences around us, but, I mean, we're not going to help them put the fence up by going, oh, let's not meet. Let's not train anymore. Oi. Oi, sound like a bunch of little heaves. Excuse me. My apologies to the Jews. Red Sea pedestrians. That's what we heard today.
We're not
going to do that. You know, I had some lady yesterday going, oh, you guys wearing guns in church. 15 years ago, it scared me when I came, and I think maybe you guys should just carry concealed and not open like that. I said, okay, you came 15 years ago. You said it scared you, but you're still here. And you understand our doctrine. You understand our belief systems. You understand we're a militia. And you're telling me that we might scare people away? Well, I don't care. If somebody's afraid to come to my church and listen to my pastor and these great guests we're going to have because I'm wearing a .45 on my hip in the open, and most of the guys actually carry concealed anyway, I carry open,
and then the other,
then maybe they don't belong in our church.
Mm-hmm.
We educate people. I mean, we tell people. We've been in the newspaper. They've done stories on us. Hey, the armed church up there in Cahuilla. If you haven't heard of us yet and you live in the community, you're living, I don't know, maybe you're too high all the time, so we wouldn't want you anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we know it's a threat. We had some lady post on a site that she'd like to come up here with a pitchfork and stab us all. I'm like, and then somebody said, what kind of idiot brings a pitchfork to a gunfight? We're like, bring it on, lady. Some liberal posted in a forum that she was going to come up here and stab us with a pitchfork. And we're like, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So we see anybody show up with a pitchfork, we're just going to, you know, we're going to shoot them. I mean, especially if
it's... Well, I'm going to laugh at them.
Yeah, they're not going to get near us.
Right. That's stupid.
So don't bring any pitchforks to our training because, you know, thinking it's a joke because we will shoot you. No, I'm just kidding. We know who it was. We know specifically who she was. We don't live in fear. We don't, I mean, I got so many emails. Oh, Hillary signed the gun treaty. People in church yesterday, they signed the gun treaty. And I'm like, still has to be ratified. And even if it is, we have no obligation to obey unjust mandates. It says that in the Bible. Good. Just like when Obongo got elected, I was like, good. Maybe this will rattle some cages of you morons out there that are living like sheep. Fear will disable you before you even get to the battlefield. It'll keep you from leaving your house. Remember Gideon? How many here have fear? Just leave. Go. How many here just got married? Go. How many here have business at home? Go. Luke keeps raising his hand. You didn't just get married, did you?
No, I raised my hand for the business.
Oh, the business. You got business. We can't live like that. It's not the way the Lord wants us to live. It's not the way the founding fathers lived. They signed their names. Look at Hancock's name. Boom! On his own death warrant. The Declaration of Independence did two things. It declared that we were done negotiating. Mm-hmm. And it also served as a warrant, a declaration that, hey, under penalty of death, we're signing this.
My great-grandfather
signed that. Yeah, he'd bring that up every time. I'm married to a descendant of a signer. Yeah, Philadelphia.
No, at the bottom.
At the bottom. I don't know if you heard him. Luigi says, do you know where the Declaration of Independence was signed? I said, yeah, Philadelphia. He goes, no, at the bottom. Technically, it was spinning around and signed, but yeah, you get it. Yeah, it was signed at the bottom. Yeah, and everybody thinks John Hancock was being arrogant. No, he wasn't being arrogant. He's saying, King George, come and get me. Boy, what has happened to America? Even since World War II, Korea... Just the intestinal fortitude of Americans has just diminished greatly because of conditioning and the public cesspool system, you know, the way the government got away with certain things like forced busing, and they won all these little victories. You know, they killed hippies at Kent State. Nobody did anything. Ruby Ridge. We could go on and on. Individuals that have been taken out. I just saw a video today of a father and son from, I think it was Florida. They went around doing seminars. I don't have the name. I need to research it more, but they were doing seminars on how to get out of debt. They got into a shootout with police, killed two cops. They were on the run, and then they got ambushed at Walmart. Somebody sent me the video. I've never heard of these guys before. I don't know the date on it. I'm saying, where'd you get this? Where'd this come from? It was a news article, pictures on it. They're killing Americans already, folks.
Yeah.
Whether you know about it or not, they're killing Americans. Whether it's outright or some guy just dies in the middle of the night, you know, mysteriously, but he happened to be somebody that was working on this project or that project or preparing for this. We're already at war with our own government. It's too late to worry about what they think of us. It's too late to be afraid if they got pictures of you. Because if you're in a forum and you're posting stuff, they already know who you are. This is the information age. And if you're that important, it wouldn't matter what you do anyway. You're already on a list, and when the roundup starts, you better not be home. You better have somewhere to go and hide. Because if you're not going to participate in your own defense... You're not much use to the rest of us. Get a song ready for the bumper so we can do a nice soft landing for the folks at Liberty Tree Radio. And what's the other place? Something cat? What? Up cat?
You
Ustream. 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 I stream. We all stream for you. Yeah.
For Ustream.
So, folks, I really want to thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Show. I hope I don't flog a dead horse too much, but I really love bringing you biblical reasons for resistance to tyranny. Yeah, the horse is starting to rot that I'm flogging, Lou says. But I just – sometimes I get confused at the quality of the citizens in America. Mm-hmm. I know some of it's not their own fault, but there should be this innate sense in your gut that what's going on needs to stop. You should know that you shouldn't have to go get 57 permits to build a dwelling for your family. You should know that you shouldn't have to pull licenses and fee- – what did you do that for? Don't do that again. That was terrible. It sounded horrible, Lou. I told you not to do that when we're in the air. There are so many obvious indications that we are headed for a conflict. This, the second war of federal aggression, cannot be avoided. So if you're sitting around on your hands now hoping it'll just all pass over and you won't suffer from it, it's a little too late. They already know who you are. They got pictures of you. They know where you work. They know your checking account. They know your savings account.
I don't know my savings account.
Well, that's because you don't exist, Lou.
Yeah, so they don't.
Yeah, we adopted you from that Ukrainian black market adoption service. We traded like 14 cases of camels and some beef jerky for you when you were born. They don't know where you are. You came. Huh? No. So, why live in fear? I don't fear. I take precautions. I sleep with the weapons next to the bed. I look around. I make certain that I have a good, clear area. I know that. Yeah, I keep a pillow under my gun. I watch every vehicle that comes down the road. I'm not living in paranoia. I'm just being diligent. You know, when new people come to the church, there's a process to bring them into the fold. We don't blindly invite everyone and go, oh, yeah, join the militia. For one thing, we're not doing anything technically illegal. We don't want to give them a reason to come in. You know, we don't have a stash of claymores or anything like that. We're not stupid. We'll pick those things off the mobile supply pods. We'll let my enemy be my quartermaster when the time comes. But we've got combat engineers in our unit that when the time comes, they'll know how to use the stuff and where, what, how to identify it. So don't live in fear. Don't be distracted. Don't allow the enemy to define you and to beat you before the shooting even starts. So many militia guys, I have to say this, I don't know what the percentage is. At least 50% are already beaten. We got another guy who we're considering bringing back. Did somebody call?
Somebody called up. You were talking about Jerry and Joe Kane. They were both
back. Yes, yeah.
Thank you, whoever it was.
Jerry and Joe Kane, thank you. I'm going to do some more research on that. It was a father and son that got shot. They said black?
Yeah, you said they were black.
No, the ones I saw weren't black. It was a white guy and his son. Tell me about the other one, though. Email me, DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com. DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com. If you know of patriots that are being slaughtered, I want to share it. I mean, I think it was Esther who sent me the videos, you know, on this one, and I'd never heard of it. I don't know the date. So a lot of times, I'll get stuff that's 8 to 10 months old, and I'll go, yeah, okay, you know, it's not really topical. I'm sure the better men than me have already covered it. So go ahead and start rolling the music, Lou. You've been listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We are on Liberty Tree Radio right now. We're on U Broadcast. We're on DutchJones.tk. We're all over the place. If you want to record this and pass it around, please do in its entirety. Do not edit it to make me sound like a right-wing radical terrorist. Just play it as it is. I don't care. You don't have to pay me. Just let me know where it's being played. I love this song. Just remember that this is the second war of federal aggression, and if we hang together, we won't hang alone. God bless all you do in the holy cause of liberty. Remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone, and He will only use you if you are worthy and courageous in the cause. God bless you, and we'll be back tomorrow on DutchJones.tk, but we won't be on Liberty Tree Radio, so we'll catch you guys Wednesday. Thank you for listening, and God bless you all.
Glory, glory to the Ireland. Glory to the memory of the men who fought and died. Surrender is the war cry of the Belfast Brigade. We have no armored cars or tenders for to show. We're ready to defend ourselves no matter where we go. We're out for our republic. Orange men may live in dread. We're the Fighting First Battalion of the Belfast Brigade.